שלום, אנחנו בשיעור בנושא איך מארגנים את המן, ניתן לצפות בשידור.
We're in the lesson about how to organize the man. We are inviting you to ask questions on Kab.TV. Relevant questions may be aired during the lesson. And the lesson is about how do we organize the man.
Our whole work should bring us to connection between us at our center, and at our center we will connect with the upper force that is there to begin with, except we have to locate it, detect it. In order to detect it, we have to connect among us. And then we can direct ourselves as one to the one, to him. This work goes on through all of the degrees in all the circumstances we experience, and this is called work in three lines. All of it is actually about meeting with the upper force, the creator, the light, the surrounding light, however we detect it there. And we get to it the more we connect among us. This is done by a great struggle, each of us with ourselves and with a general ego, until we can find between us that quality of one unique avut, the connection, support, where we all annul ourselves, support the others, receive the state of the others above ourselves, and in this way, we, through the reforming light, when we find our centers, our center, we find the middle line, the Creator. The middle line comes from us as a combination of the two lines, and in it, at its end, we discover the upper force. And thus, we arrive at connection. And the man is the lack that we accumulate or assemble together. That chisaron, that deficiency, connects with the upper force, the force of bestowal, at the point of meeting. And then it turns out that we are raising man. For each time we have a new and renewed chisaron, deficiency, both from above, by feeling disturbances. A developing ego is revealed, and on top of it we can each time more accurately, more powerfully achieve connection and thus achieve dvikut with the Creator. So our whole work is basically in three lines on our part. If it happens on our part, then in Keter, in the middle line from above, we attain the Creator that dresses in us. So, let's see what Rabash tells us.
We're
reading from Rabash, Volume 3 in Hebrew, from the article Three Lines. We'll begin from the middle of the article. We have the Hebrew book, it's page 239. In the work of preparation, we study the correction of the lines, which extends from the matter of root and branch, The right is called chesed, mercy. And it is the aspect of covered chasadim, which is above reason. And it's referred to as, for one is delighted in mercy, that one doesn't need anything, rather he is happy with his share, with whatever he has, and he says that whatever gift he was given from above in the form of a grip onto the Torah and Mitzvot, he is happy with it. And although he sees that he carries out Torah and Mitzvot only by way of education, as he was educated that way, and that education, it doesn't matter if he was educated while he was little or when he was already a grown-up. It doesn't matter. Rather, every time his work begins from the education. And that is not yet considered the right line, because the right line is only relevant when there are two lines. Then one is called right line, the other is left. And afterwards, when he has criticism and he starts working for the account of self-benefit, and he wants to know what is his purpose in life, and when he longs for something, he calculates for himself whether that longing will take him to some purpose, and especially what is the purpose of creation. And he sees in every place that it writes, the goal is to benefit the created beings. But he sees that he doesn't yet feel any good or pleasure. So he asks himself, why doesn't he feel the good and pleasure of the purpose of creation? But he sees an excuse for this, that first one needs to achieve equivalence of form, and only then can one reach the feeling of goodness and pleasure. And in order to reach the aspect of bestowal, which is referred to as equivalence of form, one's way is one of inquiries of the truth, to see whether he actually treads the path of love of others. Otherwise, it's impossible to achieve adhesion with the Creator. As it is called, cling to His measures. As He is merciful, so are you. And if one sees that he is still residing in self-love, and he hasn't moved one inch from his lowliness, then he comes to despair. Sometimes, not only he didn't go forward, but he feels that he went backwards. In such a time, it's difficult for him to carry out Torah and Mitzvot joyfully. On the contrary, he's always sad. And sometimes his world darkens for him, because the sadness leads him to many thoughts and desires that are truly against the goal that he wants to achieve. That state is called the left line, for something that needs correction is referred to as left. And then when a person is already on the left line, seeing his situation, how empty he is, then he needs to move to the right line. Because when he has the left, the right becomes relevant, and the right is referred to as wholeness, which means that before he has the left, it's just called a line, because the right line cannot be without the left. So now, the first line, which is the aspect of wholeness, he returns to that line right now, because that is the basis from which we build the entire building, which is above reason. Because now he has a reason in which he sees his true state, that he has no grip in spirituality. Meaning, in terms of his reason, it's all dark, and it's time now to go above reason and say, They have eyes, but they shall not see. They have ears, but they shall not hear, and so forth. Rather, one is happy in being able to carry out the Creator's commandment that He commanded us to do by Moses, our forefather. And even though he doesn't feel any taste or understanding in it, he still believes above reason that it is a great privilege to be able to carry out the Creator's commandment in simplicity, whereas other people don't even have that, and he trusts that everything comes from above. And others were only permitted to enjoy nonsense, things that are suitable for beasts and animals and so forth. And he was given a thought and desire to see how their entire life is about nonsense. Therefore, he appreciates this gift as one who finds great fortune, and he's always greatly inspired from this importance. And it's important to him as if he has acquired the highest degrees. Then that is considered the right line of wholeness, because precisely by the joyfulness one has the aspect of adhesion with the Creator. As our sages said, divinity only dwells where there is joyfulness. And since he is now in a state of wholeness, then he has a reason to be joyful. Therefore, even during the time of preparation, there is a place that can receive an illumination from above, although that illumination cannot be constant. Still, any little connection with spirituality is great benefit, because any contact with spirituality is invaluable for the person. And that right line is called truth, because the wholeness is built on a basis of truth. Meaning, it doesn't say that he has a great property in Torah and Mitzvot, that is, a feeling and understanding and attainment. Rather, he says, whatever he's got, meaning whatever he's given from above, even if he feels that he's in a worse state than what he has received by his education, he still considers it and appreciates it above reason, and that appreciation is great, for he was privileged to have some contact with spirituality. When he works on that, meaning to settle for little and be happy with his share, and he wants to value and respect the Torah and Mitzvot as if he felt the taste by way of true acknowledgement and feeling, where the body would also agree to that work. And that is called, that his enemies will also make up to him. And then, when he needs to go above reason, the body resists this work. Therefore, this is called the work of truth, when he sees his true state and yet he overcomes it as if he had it within his reason. And that is called the right line. And all of that is because he wants to respect the Torah above reason. And even though it seems as though he's building it as a building of reason, as he says that there are many people who have no belonging to the Torah and Mitzvot. And so the reason necessitates that there is something to rejoice about, because he has some property that others don't. It's true. But to say that this is something important that's worthwhile rejoicing, that requires the aspect of above reason. And this is called the joyfulness of a mitzvah, meaning that it's based on the foundation of faith. Then one can sing and dance, and it's all truth, for it is above reason. and the left line that extends from the root of Gvura. Gvura comes from Hidgabut, overcoming. And since a person scrutinizes how close he is to holiness, meaning how much strength can he give to love the others, that is, to make actions of bestowal without any exchange for the benefit of the friends, and he can measure it by the extent that he's willing to make a concession for the friends and not wanting to receive anything in exchange. And then if he sees his true state, that he is still not worthy of making any concession, then there's no other advice but prayer. And that is called that the left line leads him to pray, brings him a place for prayer. It turns out that the right line enables him to give praise and gratitude for the wholeness he is given, and that does not make any room for prayer, because there's no lack, and also there's no place for descendants, sons, which refers to the one's understanding of Torah and Mitzvot, because then one has no questions that he needs to have answers for. And therefore, he has no procreation in the Torah. However, the left line, which is Gvura, that means overcoming, and when one sees that he doesn't have the force to overcome, then he has room for prayer. And there's also room for sons or descendants, because by the forces that come from above that one has extended by his prayer, it leads him to multiply and procreate in the Torah. However, we should know that these two lines need to be comparable, meaning that they need to be used equally. Then, we can say, the third verse comes to decide between them, and that is called the middle line. And the matter of this determination is that it includes both of them as one, and if one is greater than the other, then they cannot be included one within the other, because the one that's greater does not want to be included in the other, as it feels that it is more beneficial. Therefore, we have to try to maintain both of them equally. What's the benefit of having two lines? Likewise, one also has to be meticulous in keeping them equal to attain the middle line. So we should know that the middle line is called the abundance that comes from above, revealed by these two lines.
Why do we need to see that there is balance between the two lines? Why do we need to see that there is balance between the two lines? Go ahead. Please make it quickly.
The balance between the two lines creates the kli.
Because otherwise we return to one line, not to the right line. And we need room for effort above reason, so the lines need to be equal.
I have to resemble a state where the Creator is already revealed and everything is known, but it's only like a still level. We have to have these two things working together so they don't get confused.
As he writes towards the end, if their lines are not equal, then the middle line can't be revealed. The Creator can't come.
Right, that's the place of the prayer where there's no determination, and we invite the Creator to decide.
In the process of balancing, I learn what is right, what is left. I learn the forces of the Creator and how, and therefore how to be like Him.
Well, everything in spirituality has both a creator and a created being. They have to be together. And in our prayer, in one's inner work, there are these two elements too, which are the two lines.
Because only out of balance can a midline develop. Free choice can be only between two equal things. If you have one more than the other, there is no free choice. So a middle line can't develop there.
The balance between the two lines creates the middle line.
They deny one another, resist one another. The fact that we try to keep them equal, to see each one of them in its place, invokes the chisaron, the deficiency for the prayer.
Rav, how does it happen that from the connection between the right and left lines, we build the image of the Creator, as if paint a picture of Him? Right? It's like there's this brush, and there are colors, and by the combination of these two lines, we can paint a picture of Him. Go ahead.
It's exactly that. A person holds two lines, the right and the left, and he says that the wholeness and the distractions, everything comes from the Creator. And that's how He creates Him, out of two forces.
We conduct ourselves as though He's there. We have the strength to follow the right line and the left line, of course, we have. Then we build a reality that includes everything there is, these two things together. And then we only need to play with it in a way that the Creator is revealed.
It proves that there is none else besides Him, that right and left both come from Him, and that our work is only to keep those two lines and sustain His presence.
That's what a painter does. He can draw left, draw right, chasadim, chokhmah, above, downwards. He can draw anything.
By studying these forces, right and left, and the upper one that sustains these forces, who is the boss? Who is the landlord?
I also have this analogy of a picture. The Creator is like this, clean slate, and there's nothing on it, and only the left line, our resistance to the inclination to receive, is like this black line that begins to draw shapes on the paper. Otherwise, there's no form. There's nothing you can't perceive that way.
Yeah, you need both. And out of the two lines, you get the depth, movements, you get discernments of what is the Creator when you attribute those two things to Him. You can't paint something only out with one line.
Rav, but how does it happen that from both these things we as if have at our disposal, we can make or create, not create, but sort of establish a form that is not belong, that doesn't belong to us at all? How can we reach a state where we can build qualities that detect the Creator? That's a quality that doesn't exist in us. So what is it that happens in the combination of these two lines that through it we establish the middle line? What is it in the middle line that doesn't exist in these two lines? Go ahead.
To the extent that the left and the right are in opposition, but there is mingling between them, mitkalelut. To that extent, they create a chisaron, a deficiency, on which you can clothe the qualities of the Creator.
Basically, both lines are the Creator. There's no creator outside the created being, so the created being perceives it as right or left. And it's two sort of opposite qualities. So that awakening is basically the middle line. That's the creature himself. It's the demand of the creator to make that place that combines them, that basically justifies the creator altogether. That the created being wants to be in unity with him, only he's torn between the two states.
Both right and left are nature. And if a person connects the two lines, he becomes similar to the Creator who also unites. He goes above nature. He becomes adhered to the Creator, similar to him.
There is integration, mixture, when we do it in the ten. The Malchuyot mix or mingle with the Bina, and then we create a new axis that didn't exist before.
I'm also thinking about the same Itkalalut, that mixture between the two lines, which create some sort of tension between the two opposites. And the creature itself sustains it, and that becomes the place of prayer. There, the Creator arrives.
There's just no life in them. The two lines are dead. The source of life and light is what's new, that it invigorates them with life.
Yes, right and left are just forces. A person doesn't create the middle line. It's the Creator through his effort. In right and left comes the form of receiving in order to bestow, taking the forces from here and from there, like a resistor that connects the two forces into something alive.
Especially in the middle line, there's prayer, and the prayer doesn't exist in each of the lines separately.
Yes, in the middle line, you have it's something that doesn't exist, doesn't belong.
Rav, what is the difference between having nothing and being in agreement for lack of a better choice to having nothing but being inspired and growing where this state, as this state can lead me to go above reason? When a person discovers he has nothing of spirituality, he can be in despair. He could just, you know, close himself and agree with whatever he has, or he can take it and rise above reason. What is it that could be the cause to him having these three discernments in a state where he's got nothing? Please.
The difference between the two states is the preparation. It's when a person understands that this situation is the right one, as opposed to a person not making the preparation, so that state seems like a state that causes despair. So the extent of the preparation determines the attitude to those two states.
Well, the fact that I have nothing is clear. What does it mean to go above reason when I don't have anything? This I don't know. That it's possible to keep going, even mechanically. Only to exert.
I don't exactly understand the question, but having nothing, the fact that I have nothing is obvious. But that's in the kli of the left, of the will to receive, that criticizes and checks itself. On the other hand, I need to be in wholeness in the degree I am in, and see the great privilege and greatness of having contact with the upper force.
Three things. How does a person decide what is the reason, what is the cause? First state, where he's just despaired and he's got nothing, is like a beast. And where he's inspired, then it's an angel. And if he's a dumb Kabbalist, then he goes above reason.
The difference between the states is the fear with which one works. If he discovers he has nothing, and he closes up, it's because he understands he has nothing, so he closes up. So it's fear from this world. Fear from the next world means he agrees, because it says at least I'll have something in the next world. And if he goes above reason, precisely because of it, is because he is afraid of not bestowing contentment to the Creator, because he is great.
The difference is basically how much can a person bring the Creator into this and go above reason.
Rav, how do we practically bring out, elicit the middle line when we get to the center of the ten? How, as we get to the center of the ten, do we, in actual fact, find or elicit the middle line? Go ahead.
I'm somewhat confused by the question, because I feel if we've reached to the center of the ten, we already created the middle line. I kind of see it as the same thing.
We have to stop imagining the lines and put the lines on the ten. On the one hand, the friends have a great deficiency, a great effort, great sorrow. And on the other hand, we have the greatness that we're standing opposite. The upper force, the greatest thing there is, and the most worthy common act. And to connect all this to the forces that act in the ten and balance them out and draw the Creator to revive them.
I also think, like Roy, that the center of the ten is exactly the place of the middle line. After you've come to connection, after all the resistances, come to the connection in the middle line.
Maybe the middle line in the center of the ten is our common prayer, the prayer of many, and that's how we know that we have come to the middle line at the center of the ten.
The middle line in the center of the ten is basically the point we've discussed so far. It's the point of the right relation. It's the point of the Kabbalists. The middle line is only in the center of the ten, where everyone's resistance, the left and also the right, you bring that into this. Although before a person is in the center of the ten, he doesn't discover any of that.
The middle line at the center of the ten is a result of our craving to connect above all the desire of youth that appears, and the addition of prayer that we add to it. The combination of the two creates the middle line.
Right, a person needs to feel altogether that if he is on the right, he doesn't have the left, and vice versa. They're in complete contrast, and they cannot be settled together. It just as if it doesn't exist. And then there's a demand to justify the upper force and to make the right connection, understanding that it's the Creator designing this contrast within him. And so the prayer and the connection of all the prayers together bring us the center of the ten, where there's connection with the Creator and the middle line as one.
When we get to the center of the group, we still get our in the will to receive. To create the midline, we have to go above reason to see how much we are really in love with friends.
To reach the center of the ten is our efforts to connect that build a common lack, and then we take that common lack and we have to relate it to the Creator. Ask Him to have the right intention.
So, probably the most practical thing is that at the center of the ten, we need the prayer. And then we get the abundance called middle line.
There are always two points here. We have to raise the lack of the ten opposite the sorrow of divinity. We have to create this line of Israel, the light and the Creator. There has to be a full stature of the system of Adam HaRishon, the lack for wholeness.
In this center, you have to accumulate more deficiencies, more disturbances, more will to receive, and combine it with the right line that comes from the light, from bestowal, and that's how we rise there in the middle line.
I don't have anything to add to the friends. Again, same story. Middle line at the center of the ten, we pray in our prayer, in our common vessel, the light of the Creator shines.
And in that prayer appears the midline, which is the place to which we need to bring all the deficiencies. It's the place that we should focus on. The center of the ten is all the questions.
We're moving to the writings of Rabash, Volume 3, page 1071. This is in the Hebrew book. There's no translated text. This is an article called The Ark Carries Its Carriers.
אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי רבש כרך ג' עמוד 1701 מאמר הארון.
We're reading from the article The Ark Carries Its Carriers. The tablets were placed within the Ark. The tablets of the covenant are called the Torah, and that is dressed in the Ark, meaning faith. The aspect of faith is a great and difficult task that we ourselves cannot undertake. Rather, a person should know that the Ark carries its carriers, meaning, whatever the man is capable of doing is only to know the fear of the Creator, how far it is from his strength to carry this task. And this is by way of, if the Creator does not help him, then he is incapable. Against the question of who and what. This means that a person has to ask for the measure of fear and see it in its true and pure form. As written, if you ask it and look for it as money and treasure, then you'll understand the fear of the Creator. And before one looks for its shape, one cannot understand what is the fear of the Creator. Then, when the difficulties and resistance of the body is seen, and it is visible that one cannot receive it, then there's room for prayer, that the Creator will help, by way of if the Creator does not help him. Then, what happens is, you shall find the reason of God. And only then is the time to merit the reason of holiness. And therefore it's called finding, when a person already saw there's no reality in the world to be able to undertake the burden of faith. Turns out that after all the searches, he only found the negation, that this aspect is far away from him, and only then he merits the revelation of his name. And it turns out that it doesn't work by way of cause and effect, meaning that the order of today is a little bit, and what I know tomorrow is more, until I know everything. Here it's the opposite. Today I know little, and if I don't look by way of purity, I find less and less within myself, and even less tomorrow, to the point of having nothing, of zero. Only then one is capable or qualified to receive the aspect of faith in wholeness. It turns out this is just a finding that happens absent-mindedly. Therefore it is written, you shall find the reason of God. That is the matter of the ark, that is, faith, that carries its carriers, meaning the faith gives strength to the carriers who took upon themselves this heavy mission. And they come to a point where they think they cannot carry the burden of faith, and they think they carry faith, meaning they don't see that it is within the human strength to carry the ark of over the shoulder of faith, as it is a burden. And the ark is called, it'll be carried over by the shoulder. However, we should know that faith gives strength to the person, gives livelihood to the person, by way of one who is alive carries himself. This means that in the human mind we cannot come to this degree, as it is stripped of any desire to receive, whether in mind or heart, but it gives strength by way of one who is alive carries himself, carrying the person by way of the ark that carries its carriers. Then, when he is awarded with it, he already has this reality that is considered great finding. He always thought that he stayed in between heaven and earth. Now he sees that even in that state, it can still give him eternal life.
Now again, slower.
The ark carries its carriers. The tablets were lying within the ark. The tablets are referred to as Torah, and that is dressed in the ark. That is the aspect of faith. And faith is a great and difficult task that we ourselves can't take upon ourselves. Rather, a person should know that the ark carries its carriers. Meaning what man is capable of doing is only knowing the fear of the Creator. How far it is from man's strength to carry this mission. And that is, as it says, if the Creator does not help him, then he can't go against the question of who and what. This means that a person should ask for a measure of fear and see it in its true, pure, clean form. As written, if you ask for it as money and look for it as treasure, you'll understand the fear of the Creator. And before one seeks its form, one cannot understand the matter of fear of the Creator. Then, when he sees the difficulties and resistance of the body towards this, and sees that man is unable to receive it, then there is a place of prayer that the Creator will help by way of if the Creator would not help him. Then, as it is said, one, you shall find the reason of God. And only then it is the time to be awarded with the reason of holiness. And therefore it's called finding, since a person saw there's no reality in the world to be able to take upon himself the burden of faith. Turns out, after all the searches, all he found was the negation. He found how far is that aspect from him. Only then he merits the revelation of his name. So it turns out it doesn't work by way of cause and consequence, which means that today I know little, tomorrow I know more, until one knows everything in its entirety. Here it's the opposite. Today I know little, tomorrow, if I don't look by way of purity, I find within myself more, less and less. And tomorrow even less, until we come to the point of zero. And only then one is qualified to take upon himself faith in wholeness. It turns out that this is a finding that happens absent-mindedly. That's why it's written, you shall find the reason of God. That's the matter of the ark, meaning the faith that carries its carriers. Meaning faith gives strength to the carriers who took upon themselves this heavy load. And they come to a point where they think they cannot carry the burden of faith. And they think they carry the faith, meaning they don't see that it's within the human strength to carry the ark on the shoulder of faith, which is a burden. And the ark is called, it shall be carried by the shoulder. But we should know that faith gives strength to the person. It gives life to the person. It's the aspect of one who is alive carries himself. Which means that within the human mind, we cannot come to this degree, as it is abstract, stripped from any desire to receive, whether in mind or heart. However, it provides strength by way of one who is alive carries himself, meaning that it carries the person as the ark carries its carriers. Then, when one is awarded with it, he already has this reality. And this is called a finding for him, as he always thought he stayed in between heaven and earth. Then he sees that even in that state, it can still give him eternal life.
Moscow.
Вопрос. Написано, что левая линия приводит.
It is said that the left line leads to prayer. What does that mean? And how can we practically do it in the 10?
The left line is, let's say, it's criticism. There are many ways of the three lines. But the left line, generally speaking, is criticism. It's when a person checks himself, what he has, what he's attained, what is his situation, in what way he is advancing, or is perhaps even regressing compared to the day before yesterday, or yesterday. So accordingly, he calculates. So the left is always calculation. It's built on the will to receive, on our substance, on our desire, where we can precisely, seemingly, measure what is the situation with respect to the will to receive. When a person sees his state, real state, and left is the truth, he feels this way, he sees it, he seemingly measures, he can even perhaps ascribe numbers to it. So it turns out that what can he do afterwards? Here comes the matter of the right line. Right means bestowal. That doesn't exist in us. But if a person does all kinds of actions, then he can cover the left with the right. And then he begins to understand that the left that has appeared was actually good. And in a measure and form that he is capable of covering it with the right, complementing it, that it comes from the Creator, that there is none else besides him, and he is good and does good. And in this way, he gives him an opportunity to see that he shouldn't erase the left or want to advance in the left. But the left is rather the right servant, so that he would acquire the power of faith now on the right. Of course he doesn't have it, but he makes an effort. So it depends how he relates to the left. Accordingly, he determines that he demands the power of faith. And that's how he advances. Where through the environment, the group, all kinds of efforts, he draws upon himself reforming light, which brings him the ability to rise, and in the ability to rise above the difficulties, he tries to be in between them, meaning perhaps I may have nothing, but precisely from these states I can obtain the quality of bestowal because I don't have a choice at first. And afterwards, perhaps because it's an opportunity to obtain the quality of bestowal, not in order to sweeten it for myself, but in order to obtain it by itself, I begin to appreciate the opportunity that I have to achieve the quality of bestowal. Then he goes even further. Where precisely what I need in order to get to the quality of bestowal is to increase the lift, increase the deficiency. And that's what I need. But how can I increase the left? By increasing the right. By this, I force the left to grow. So my ego, my will to receive, will be opened up even more, and then I'll know even more how I am not in the right state. Meaning, I awaken the dawn. And then I get to states where he seemingly controls between the two lines, where one awakens the other mutually to such an extent that I really do receive the force of bestowal from above. Here comes the group and this work that we're talking about. When he comes to it and has a little bit of power of bestowal and faith, then he begins with this light, with this attitude, to read what is happening to him differently. And also the writings of the Kabbalists, he sees them differently. This is called discovering the Torah according to the power of faith. Faith is bestowal, reflected light, ochzel, rising above himself, and then the Torah appears as the middle line. And within the Torah, he discovers the giver of the Torah, the creator, in the middle line as well. There are also Nehi, Chagat, and Chabad in it, this development. But this is basically the topic. Yes, Moscow.
Совпадает ли средние линии десяток и их центр, или у каждой свой?
Is the middle line of the ten the same line for all the tens, and how can a ten examine what line exactly is it in?
First of all, we don't need to check on the other tens. That's not our work yet. That's number one. Number two, are we in the middle line or not, the ten? Our middle line is if we can achieve connection. Achieve connection. That's the question. Can we or can't we? At that time, we can, if we come to a state where all the desires, all of the actions we do, our intentions, as much as we can, if we can feel in them that we really have such a point of connection in them that is really common to all of us, that doesn't exist in any one in particular, but belongs to everyone. It's like a baby that was born to two parents. It's ours. And you can't get out of there, and you can't get in there. It's just something that was created and exists and connects us above us. If we get to it, then you can call this the middle line. That's the quality of faith that we obtain. From this, from here on, you begin to live. Yes, Moscow.
Средняя линия — это находка или плод усилий человека?
Is the middle line a finding or a result of one's efforts in the ten?
After the first restriction and the descent of all the degrees down to this world, and the shattering in the world of Nikudim, and the shattering in the sin of the tree of knowledge, and the fall into Bia, and the dispersion of all the parts of this system called Adam, there is nothing that's done by itself. nothing that comes from above, but only with the chisaron that comes from below. Because if it comes from above by itself, we won't be able to feel it. We won't. Just as we can't feel anything in this world. I have life, I'm alive, I have a family, we built this whole reality, this world. But what do we know about this? If we put forces into it and obtain it and achieve it after great efforts, and we gradually find where we are, how to work with these states, how to improve this world, build all kinds of instruments, etc. But if we don't exert, we don't know anything. We're like animals. If man hadn't invested anything, he would remain like an animal without any means in his hand, even without sticks and stones and instruments and fire and nothing. So our attainment of the world, perception of the world we live in, is achieved only by our efforts. Work makes man opposite the beast, makes man the way he is. And the same applies to spirituality. If we don't exert, and we remain beasts, and we will never be man, similar to the Creator.
From above, you can only get the initial awakening, so we'll feel the corporeal suffering, animalistic suffering on the animalistic level, in order for us to grow, just like it happened throughout history with the monkey that came down from the tree and started being like a man, like a person. As a result of the suffering that he felt, the other animals didn't feel suffering, and therefore they didn't turn into anything. So, here we have to understand that now we're in the average degree, which is between the spiritual animate and speaking. And we have to exert and invent different inventions ourselves, even though that they come from above. The Creator, He arranges the group that way for us, for you to connect in the group, and like we connect in human society and build different countries, societies, and so on. We have to do the same in our spiritual effort. Truly so. One similar to the other. And then, what means do we have to become a spiritual man, Adam, versus a corporeal man? We have to connect with society. Just like some preliminary, initial, very first human society was made out of monkeys, that they knew, understood, what are they doing, how are they doing. Those went fishing, those went collecting things, and to bring it to everyone. It's not like monkeys where each is for himself, but you already start getting an organized society which has one goal: to sustain its members, the women, children, and so on, the elderly. Building the environment, this is what delivers a person, takes them out from the animate level onto the speaking level. And the same here. Now, where each one of us is living for himself, he's on the animate level. And only if we get together into a group and we live the mutual life of a group, and our baby that we want to connect between us, the result of our connection will be contact with the upper light, and then we'll start feeling that this upper force, which is being born, is called the soul. Then from that we'll start building the spiritual society until it will become big, consisting of many tens, with complicated connections, sophisticated connections. It's like humanity. It's like humanity started developing on Earth. This is how we build the upper mechanism called Adam. And it's the same stages, which is a copy of what's happening to us here in this world. So you see the state we're in. So let's start coming down from our from the trees, which is really our ego, and start connecting between us. Let's start connecting into the right, proper, human, spiritual kind of society and arrange ourselves as a spiritual society so that our connection will be called the soul, and so on. And this is what is ahead of us, and we won't get anything from above, like you've asked, nothing. An awakening, yes. External conditions, yes. Different such things. Like then, suddenly those monkeys felt that they're cold, so they invented different ways of how to keep the fire. They knew what fire was even before, but now they can keep it. Sustain it. Previously, they also knew that you can get along in some cave, but they lived on trees. Now they went into caves and so on. Meaning, as a result of suffering, you reach solutions, but you're already looking for the solutions. This is why we're given the mind and heart, the brain and emotion, additional brain and emotions, in addition to what the ordinary people on the animate level have, in order for us to reach the speaking level. And we have to use it. What is that? It's the ability to connect. It's the ability to sustain our connection. It's the ability to draw the knowledge of how to exist from the books, and also to receive the force and the mind from a higher degree. Everything's given, but you have to exert. If not, then by way of suffering, in due time, through blows, like we have developed throughout our evolution from monkeys to humans through blows, the very same way we can develop in spirituality, but it's very unpreferable. There we had no choice because we're developing on the animate level. Still, vegetative, animate, speaking, these are the 4 degrees of matter. But now we're rising above the speaking, the corporeal speaking degree. We're rising to a spiritual degree. And here we have to invest, disclose a deficiency, and that deficiency is measured according to the reforming light which we can awaken for it to work on us and change us. That's how it works.
French? Zarfat?
France? Okay.
Hi.
Hi.
Non.
La question est, quel est le lien entre les les lignes médianes particulières.
What is the connection between the middle line of each one in the ten
la ligne médiane du centre de la dizaine
and the middle line of the center of the ten?
Very good question. What is the connection between the middle line that everyone has and the ten in general? The middle line in general. A ten which reaches the middle line in general, it's already a kli for the revelation of the Creator, whereas each and every one per se, individually, that reaches the center of the ten by his middle line. That's the balance between the extent to which the forces of reception and bestowal which he can recruit in order to be disconnected from himself and cleaved on to everyone else. Meaning everyone, individually, when they reach the center of the ten, they reach adhesion with the ten, and the entire ten, when it arranges, stabilizes, forms the middle line, it reaches adhesion with the Creator. Good question. Very good. Yeah, Moscow.
Как связано вера выше знания с работой в трех линиях?
What's the connection between faith above reason and the work in three lines?
I'd say that it's one and the same. Because the right line, it's the gvurot, the deficiencies, depending what level we're on, but it always has to do with our will to receive, with our matter. I said left or right line? Sorry, left line. The left line is our matter, the will to receive, the view, the heaviness, our ego. But by that we can measure, feel. That's who I am. That's me. The right line. The extent to which I'm capable of rising above that, performing some kind of a calculation outside of me by the influence of the environment, by the influence of the surrounding lights, by something. That's the right. And the middle line, that's already the combination between the two, and the extent to which I can already attain where I have the viewed from the left line and the purity from the right line, and I can arrange myself in faith above reason. Where above reason, it's the left line, to have faith on the right line, in the right line, and then the correct combination between the two is called the spiritual kli. And according to these givens, I can reach connection with the Creator. Why? Because I have a view, coarseness, my own desire, which is me, where I'm independent, and this is how I am. And besides that, I have the right to bestow, in order to bestow faith, so I have to receive and to bestow. The two qualities by which I, as a bestower, can become like the Creator, who is a bestower. The Creator, he doesn't have matter and intention. He is entirely bestowal. I have the matter of the will to receive and the intention in order to bestow. But when I have matter and intention, I am similar to the Creator. Moscow.
Middle line. Are we bringing the ark, Noah's Ark, or is it leading us?
I don't know what the Noah's Ark is. I don't want to talk about it. But that one is faith. Also the ark, but if you want to use these definitions, it's the force of faith. Of course, we can't touch the force of faith. We can't even imagine what the force of faith is. The force of the left, it's supposed the force that attracts you to earth. Suddenly, I start flying. If it's a bird that can fly, or an airplane that I build, it can fly, that's something else. There are the same laws, but suppose if there's something that's heavy, I don't know, a piece of something that actually has weight, and according to all the forces, the rules of nature, the laws of nature, it's supposed to fall, and instead it flies suddenly. And we test it, we examine it, and there's no force that we know from nature which gives it the ability to fly. So, either we can discover that force. So, okay, there is a phenomenon. There is something like that. Call it a miracle, call it whatever. But if it's a force that really appears in us and elevates us, raises us above and against our previous nature, that's called faith. And that force, it doesn't cancel our previous nature. It doesn't. It adds an additional quality to us and gives us the ability to combine these two forces. Suddenly, I have the ability to fly, and I also have and also there's the force of gravity that's operating on me, and I have these two forces, and I can work with the two. In combining the two, what does this combination give me? It allows me to become like the Creator. The more you have, the more gravity you have, the more force of faith that you have, that you can fly, that you can rise, correspondingly, I become more like the Creator. If I won't have the force of gravity, then what? I'll simply fly away, that's it. That's called chesedim, the quality of chesed, the force of faith, but not in me. In me, it means that it dwells within my heaviness. And then I can use these two forces. Using these two forces is called the middle line. So, on this middle line, I'm showing the extent to which I am like the Creator, where you can't be without a view, then you can't be without the force of bestowal. The force of faith is called zakut, purity. But my oviut, my coarseness, never purifies, actually. It's only the external result that I become pure. It's like a 100-ton plane that suddenly lifts in the air, becomes light. It doesn't become light. It has the force to overcome the force of gravity. Therefore, we always have to make sure that the right line will be greater than the left line. And that's possible only with the help of the environment. We're all together, the force of bestowal, love, faith, all these anti-egoistic forces. We can pull them only through the environment. We can pull them on ourselves only through the environment. And therefore, by sitting for many years and not getting the force of faith, it's because we're not pulling it through the environment. That is the only reason. And you hear and don't hear. Oh. Jerusalem.
I wanted to, from what Bala Sulam speaks about in the article, to accept upon himself the force of faith. It was the second column in the article, third paragraph. He's saying that ultimately, when he's going for it, then I find in myself less and less, the next day less and less, until you come to the zero point.
And
what is the zero point?
He has no force of faith. He has no force of faith, so he became a beast again. As a beast, he can be less and less and less and less. That means that he's weakening. Or naturally wise, less and less. That means that he's growing old until the gravitating force disappears, and that's called that he dies. Could be spiritually dead that he gets this feeling, and could be corporeally dead too.
Specifically, when he goes with the force of faith, he describes that the resistance of the body is because of that reason. Not that he adds any gains, but...
So we have a game in between. We have a game in between the two ones. The force of faith is on top and dwells over the force of the left, of reception. And sometimes the force of reception dwells upon the force of bestowal. And this is the game between them. By that game between them, we have to reach, we have to bring them to balance. And of course, if I have a greater force of faith, then I'm interested in increasing the force of the left. That's called I awaken the dawn. There's also an active action about it. Not only that I'm anticipating to just have the force of the right. Where is it? It's the old man walking in the street looking for something that fell. He's looking for deficiencies that for us are trouble. What do I need it for? But he's looking for it in order for him to have the ability to work with it and justify the Creator and so on and so forth. He wants to have the two reins in his hands.
Can you define one of the forces passive and one as active?
No, both of them are active. I want for both of them to be active. And those who want to advance. We learned this just in the Zohar. Maybe we didn't emphasize these things because I thought it's still early. We'll read this next year too, with God's help. The donkey driver, Hamechamer, and all of these articles, especially, how can we and how from above we get help to awaken our matter for the spiritual journey. Moscow.
Question from the Caribbeans, with the Caribbeans. The combination of the two lines, does it happen in the work in the ten, in nullification, among friends?
Only in the ten. Between the friends, can there be the combination of the two lines into a third one? And not only among the members of the ten, but also with help from above, undoubtedly. Because the right and left, we can further understand how to raise them, how to use them, but to combine them correctly, this we can't. The combination between them, that is already the Creator, which is disclosed before us as the reason and the result of or from the middle line. Okay? Moscow. Yeah.
You said not long ago that we're sitting for many years and we're not receiving any faith because we're not receiving it through the ten. What's missing in our work? We try to work according to the sources. We work. What's missing?
You're really investing a lot. And I can't say anything about that. About your work. Really. You're really investing. We started not long ago. The main thing that we have to add is the work during the day, not to disconnect from what's important for me in life, and to think that to convince ourselves more and more that the result is achieved in the connection where everyone disappears and you beget out of everyone some kind of a new mutual result. It's not just connection. It's already the very first spiritual new reality, which is born as a result of mutual concessions and connection. The concessions give us the oviyut, the coarseness. The connection gives us the zakut, the purity, and we build the vessel for the revelation of the Creator. It has to be this way. And we're advancing. We are. And in general, today many groups are advancing in a good and nice way, really. Those that are with us on the lessons, they're advancing. Or there are those that can't be on the lesson. When we're on the lesson, then in Japan it's midday and they're at work. France.
French.
Oui, question. La crainte du créateur, ça vient de l'environnement ou ça vient du créateur?
The fear of the creator comes. Does it come from the group or from the creator?
The fear of the creator. Comes from above. From below it can come only the way that the Zohar tells us that I fear of bad things in this world, fear bad things in the next world. Fearing bad things in this world, this is something that everyone's afraid of, and fearing bad things in the next world, so those are the religious, terrorists, and so on. They all have this kind of fear. We're afraid of one thing. We're afraid of just one thing, which are two forms of fear. The fear of, will I finally reach the realization, which is the corporeal fear? But I understand that to bestow to the Creator is the greatest benefit, and I wanna get something big. I wanna bestow to the Creator. It's the best job. It's the best position. It's the best reward. And I don't care. This world, the next world, I'm above all this nonsense. I have to bestow to the Creator, and by that I will receive. And here you really have something spiritual that belongs to acquiring the question of faith, which is the extent to which I'm capable of thinking about bestowal without any preconditions or any relevance to myself, and of course, without any self-interest. And this is something that we can reach this kind of quality only with the help of the reforming light. Here, a person can't do anything. He can't even seriously want it. He can prepare himself somehow for it, but to seriously want to be the bestower, we can't do it. We're also not demanded to do it. What we're demanded is to prepare ourselves in different ways, in the group, on the different conventions that we have, and things like that. And then by that, we can advance. But not in any other way. Okay? So what are we doing now? Let's move on to tests or this or what? Tests. Okay, good. So that's it. Quickly.